BBCLearningEnglish.com presents Talk About English, a series of radio features that support your English language studies.
It's time for Academic Listening, a series for students at English-speaking universities. Join Susan Fern and members of the World Service Class of 2001 for more on the art of understanding a lecture.
Today we'll continue to look at a range of techniques to make listening easier. And we've also got an exercise to help develop your listening skills.
It's easy when you listen to something very well structured. But when you go to lectures, people generally, they prepare to talk about the subject. They are not preparing the structure of the English, basically. Then it's difficult.
In the last programme, we thought about the purpose of lectures and suggested that understanding the aim of a lecture helps you to decide where to focus your attention. This is a useful skill, because you can't concentrate on everything at once. We've also said that it's important to recognise how speakers organise their material.
Typically things are in three parts.
Simon Williams teaches English in the Language Centre at University College London.
There's a kind of introduction giving the purpose and background to the topic and the plan of the lecture. The body of the lecture, in which examples are given, perhaps ideas outlined and contrasted. And then a conclusion in which the various ideas are evaluated and perhaps the lecturer gives their own opinion about which one is more valuable or useful in different ways.
According to Simon Williams, most lectures follow a simple structure. They have a beginning, a middle, and an end. Of these, the first section, the introduction, is arguably the most important. This is because it's where the speaker sets the scene and outlines the content of their talk. There may be a series of announcements before and after the main part of the lecture.
Now, around that structure, let's remember that this is a real event with human beings, with people involved. So there'll usually be some kind of welcome, perhaps some announcements at the beginning in which the lecturer may make some jokes and people settle down. And at the end, some closing remarks, some kind of management talk in which the lecturer refers to the next meeting, perhaps gives some reading to be done and some advice on how to use the notes for further work.
Anna from Brazil is studying architecture at the University of London. She's familiar with this kind of structure and agrees that the introduction provides useful clues to the speaker's particular standpoint. It also shows how they intend to develop the topic during the lecture.
They used to give an introduction of their theoretical background and how they are kind of managing to think and to conceptualize the problems they are discussing. And then they usually show a couple of examples, and then they just go to a conclusion, which is mainly theoretical or even of the sort of the way people are occupying the space and helping the audience to understand what they are talking about and what the points are.
It's a good idea then to assume that your lecturer will organise their talk in this way. Simon Williams says it's also useful to think about the content and structure of the lecture from another point of view. He points out that most lecturers approach their material in one of three ways. In the first, the lecturer presents a sequence of events in the order of happening.
The most familiar to all our listeners, I think, will be chronological. That's rather like a biography or perhaps an autobiography. It's starting early on in time and finishing late. Perhaps, for example, telling somebody's life story. And in the same way, describing a process, how something works or how an experiment is conducted, also follows that chronological order through time. And we intuitively recognise that when we're reading or listening, and it's reassuring. We know what to expect. We can anticipate what's going to come next.
Secondly, Simon Williams refers to the type of lecture where speakers look at different aspects of a topic or present a number of theories about it.
There might be division of ideas, a kind of matrix. The lecturer might say, I'm going to talk about three things this morning. First, a country's tourism, then its natural resources, and then its service industry. So we know that we're going to have three main sections.
A third common approach is to discuss a situation and its associated problems.
Another very common way of organising texts, both spoken and written, is the situation, problem, solution and evaluation format. For example, a situation such as the global spread of the English language is outlined, and then a problem is identified, such as the disappearance of smaller languages. Then a solution might be offered, maybe to legislate against using this advancing language, against using English, and making sure that the smaller local languages are used. And finally, an evaluation, some kind of assessment of this solution. Well, the solution's fine, but it costs money, and how can we stop the language coming in? It's on products, it's on television, and so on. So that offers us a new problem, and the next step is to offer a more refined solution, perhaps, and to evaluate that, and so on in a cyclical process.
Now here's a chance for you to do some listening practice. We'll play you extracts from two lectures. In both cases, you'll hear the introduction. And I'd like you, quite simply, to identify which approach the lecturer's taking. The first lecture's about politics in Britain. How does the speaker structure her talk?
OK. Good afternoon, everybody. Today I'm going to lecture to you about politics in the UK, or the British system of government. Now, Parliament in the UK actually has three parts. First of all, we have the Queen, or the monarch, Queen Elizabeth, so that's one part. Secondly, we have the House of Lords, and thirdly, we have the House of Commons. So those three together make up Parliament. The Queen, the House of Lords, the House of Commons. OK, first of all today, I want to talk about the role of the monarch, or the role of the Queen. In the UK, we have what's called a constitutional monarchy.
The structure there is what Simon Williams calls division of ideas. The speaker intends to divide her talk into three sections, considering the roles, firstly, of the Queen, then of the House of Lords, and finally of the House of Commons. Now here's part of another lecture about urbanisation, where countryside areas become more like towns. Which approach does the lecturer take? Chronological, division of ideas, or situation, problem, solution, evaluation?
Today I want to discuss problems of urbanisation. In particular, I want to talk about those problems which are peculiar to developing economies, and to discuss three possible policies which could be used to control or to stem uncontrolled urbanisation in developing countries.
Well, the answer was to be found in the very first sentence. The speaker intends to discuss the problems of the situation she calls urbanisation. And she intends to comment on or evaluate three possible solutions to the problem. This is an example of the classic format: situation, problem, solution, and evaluation. So, as you see, in each case, the speaker outlines the structure of the talk and the approach she intends to take. And knowing this in advance is useful for two reasons. It'll help you to follow the different sections of the talk and, importantly, to identify the speaker's key points. Simon Williams again.
Recognising structures in that way will help the student to orientate themselves and to notice when to take down ideas and how to organise their notes. Recognising the type of lecture, whether it's chronological or division of ideas or situation, problem, solution, evaluation, is really useful in helping you to predict the content and the way that it's organised, the kind of content that's going to come up.
Anna, our student from Brazil, has another tip on how to find your way around a lecture.
Well, I think most of the time when the lecture is finishing, the in conclusion or these sort of markers are going to appear. They can use some these sort of words that lead you to the introduction and then to the main points and then to the conclusion. you can understand when it is the end of the introduction, when it's the end of the main point, and when the conclusion is coming.
Last time we heard about a number of ways in which speakers guide listeners through their talks. They can do this through their intonation and stress, and by using a number of marker phrases, which are like mini-announcements or signposts within the lecture. These are important clues for the key points that you might want to note down.
To make it easier for yourself, when you're listening to lectures, if you don't want to write down everything, listen out for what I call markers. In other words, little signals that the lecturer uses to show when they're reaching a key point or when they're about to begin a new section of the lecture. So again, they're like signposts on a journey. They help you to know where you are. They help you to know what direction you're going in. Markers might be something like, right, okay. Now, the next thing I want to turn to is, and it's the information after those markers that you need to take down. So that'll be the important information that is going to signal a new section or an important topic area.
And that brings us to the end of today's programme, in which we focused on the structure of lectures. We've discovered that knowing what the lecturer is going to talk about, knowing when they're moving from one point to the next, and when they're starting the individual sections of their lecture will help you understand it better. In the next programme, we'll focus more closely on the important introductory section of a lecture.
That was Talk About English from bbclearningenglish.com.